My name is Eldon Stevenson. I have been at Teen Challenge for the last five months. I've had the awesome privilege of working with a lot of these men. And we just graduated three on Friday and gave them the charge. And my background is I too grew up in a Christian home. I saw a lot of hypocrisy in the church as a young person and left the church and ended up just living just a depraved life until 21, where God grabbed me in love and just called me by name. And I never intended to go to become a pastor. I came to and went and studied what I believe and studied world religions, and through that God just kept leading me further and further into ministry. 20 years actually of ministry, and then God said, go to Teen Challenge, and that's another story in itself. But God is doing what he has done from the beginning of time, which is restoring his relationship with humanity. And as you heard through these three gentlemen, life can be difficult, life can be challenging, life can be hard. We can do some incredibly foolish things that leave scars in our lives. And they just touched the problem. What I want to talk about today is the elephant in the room. What I think is the greatest problem in all of creation. It is such a problem that it has caused people to question whether God exists at all. It's a problem that freezes every generation to wrestle with. Not only the ones before us, not only our generation, but will affect our children's generation as well. I think it's the most horrific, terrifying problem that Scripture reveals. You ready for it? This problem's so big that people have chosen not to follow Christ. The problem, the elephant in the room, is God is good. In Isaiah 5, verse 16, Isaiah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, says God is holy, just, and righteous. Why is that a problem? As you heard just from three gentlemen, I'm sure I could survey the whole room, that each one of us have a testimony that reveals how depraved, how wicked we can be. If God is holy and just, it becomes very clear that we are not. In fact, have you ever noticed the closer you get to the presence of God, the more aware of how unrighteous you are without him? Have you ever been in that moment of worship where what I call where you're divinely destroyed, time has stopped, the presence of God has descended, you've lost yourself in the moment to realize that there's something way greater, way euphoric than what we could ever experience on earth, and then we come back and we see earth. When I remember reading some of the great leaders of the church that says, I've seen what the world has offered and I'm good to go to glory because nothing compares to the glory of the Lord. So what's the problem? Romans chapter 13, 12 says no one, not one does good. Not one. Not your grandma, not your great grandma, no matter how amazing her cookies were or her pies were, no matter how well she sang or how amazing she was at stories. For Romans again, chapter 3, 23 says, for some have sinned. No, it doesn't. It says all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Scripture says that all heaven and earth declares the glory of the Lord. And in their declaration of his glory, it is natural to realize as they're praising God in his glory in the broken state of creation because of man's sin, in their proclamation of his glory, are calling for the reconciliation of our sin, the condemnation of our wickedness. That's a problem. What does God do with us? Does he just say, Eldon, you're such a good guy, don't worry about it, okay, everything, you know, I'll turn a blind eye? Sometimes we think that we're this cute little child of God if we just sneak up to God and, you know, kind of give him that look, you know? Dad, it's me. Oh, come here, son. Don't worry about your lying, cheating, deceiving, cunning ways. Just come here. Because the real question then is, if God is holy, just, merciful, how's that justice? How is it justice that God would look at these men and say, forget it. Don't worry about it. And why me? Why would God pardon me and you and not the rest of the world? I mean, Pastor Sean, good looking guy. Surely God would pardon him a lot sooner than he would me. Billy Graham, I mean, if anyone should just be like, you know what? Okay, maybe he's not perfect, but he's pretty darn close. Isn't that injustice? Isn't that contrary to the character of God? Then if he says, okay, well, he won't pardon us, but he'll invite us into his presence. Scripture says that God is holy, in him there is no darkness. So if he invites us who are wicked and sinful into his presence, then how does he remain holy, set apart? See, that what happens, I think the greater problem is that we don't understand who we are. Let me read to you from Mark, who records Jesus saying this. It says, from within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, and sin. Wow, there's a resume. See, we're wicked. The problem is God is holy and we're sinners. But there's a solution. And it's important to understand. Yeah, we read Romans 3:23, and if you have your Bibles, it's a great place to open up, because there's something that happens in verse 25 that is mind-boggling. Romans 3:23 does say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, who God put forward as appropriation by his blood to be received by faith. Now look at this. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Church, do you hear that? This is so pinnacle, because we sing about, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I have been delivered by the King. But you need to understand how. You need to understand the gospel. You need to understand what God is revealing, because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Everybody wants God to be kumbaya, right? God is love. Ask the world, what is God? Oh, God is love. But what they don't understand is, before you ever understand his love, you need to understand he's holy. You need to understand there is no darkness, there is no sin, there is nothing corrupt about our God. And in that, his justice is righteous justice. It's not perverted. It's not twisted. It's not bought. It's not deceptive. God is holy, and his justice is righteous. So winking an eye isn't acceptable. Other means, your sin, the wages of sin is death. There must be consequences for your sin. And once you understand how holy God is and how just he is and how you cannot corrupt him or turn him, then all of a sudden you cry out for mercy. You throw yourself at the mercy of the high court. And when you understand how broken and sinful we are, how holy God is, how just he is, and you cry out for mercy, it's when you see what he is willing to do to give you mercy that you understand his love. But if you grab for God's love and never understand his holiness, his justice, and his mercy, it is a shallow love. See, the cross reveals the full attributes of God. Because of Jesus, we can be in the presence of a holy, righteous, just God. See, Numbers teaches us this. Numbers 14:18 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and rich in love." If you look at that with Romans chapter 3, verse 25, where it says, God used this time. He overlooked former sin. You'd be like, what does that mean? It's a great study. Those of you who love to study, start correlating Romans 3:25, Numbers 4:18, and Isaiah 53:10. Because Isaiah 53:10 says this, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him and put him to grief." Other translation says, "It pleased God to crush him and put him to grief." Church, catch this. I'm going to share my study. Be good, Brian. Study for yourself. But Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of all of history. The Old Testament shows us we need a Savior. The New Testament points us back to the cross for our identity. Christ crucified before the foundations of time. Abraham accredited righteousness because of his faith. His faith was that God would provide, and God did provide. He provided himself. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Christ taking on the flesh is God himself, leaving heaven to come to earth to be crucified. And when it says God is slow to anger, I believe that God in his graciousness and his righteousness is waiting for Christ to be crucified so that even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are held accountable to the cross. And the reason it pleased the Lord to crush himself, his only son, is because of his love for you. As a father of four daughters, even as I think about this, this is an unbelievable, inconceivable thought that I would give one of my children to be brutally beaten, to be killed in a way that even today, in all of our technology and science, consider the cross as one of the top three worst ways to die. It pleased the Lord because it allowed him to be holy. And it allowed him to be just. And it gave him a way to give mercy and yet still hold sin accountable, that we may be in loving relationship. You heard Max say, Teen Challenge isn't changing him, and he's right. Teen Challenge is a tool that God is using to reveal the glory of the Lord in this man's life. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether it's a big sin or a small sin. Sin is sin. It brings bondage, shame, guilt, fear. It binds up our heart. It clouds our eyes. But it's because of Jesus. See, as soon as you think, no, Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know where I come from. I don't need to. He already knows. And the minute you give more authority and more power to what you've done or what's been done to you, the less you understand of how powerful our God is. He created the heavens and earth by speaking them. He didn't even have to get his hands dirty. I would wonder if God rolled up his sleeves what this planet would have looked like. But you know what Jesus says? I'll show you. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it's beyond our imagination. It's his kindness, Scripture says, that leads us to repentance. It's your favor, Lord, that we desire. See, love covers a multitude of sin. There is no sin that is greater than our King. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he who knew no sin, therefore should have never been paid the wages of death, took on my wage of death, my debt, my spiritual credit card bill, and said, I will pay for this. I will pay for this. His bill, I'll cover. And what's crazy is, I want you to understand this, that God in his throne room as the righteous, just judge sits there and is the one who is the justifier. And Jesus, who took on flesh and became man, God says, this one's with me. Who then will charge the righteous of their sin when God himself says, I've covered it, paid in full? See, this is the gospel that sets the captives free. There is no bill that God can't pay. Everything on this earth and in the universe belongs to him. We're just stewards of it. And what happens is we get so wrapped up in owning it, we forget whose it is. And the enemy comes and lies and deceits. He hasn't changed his plan. From Genesis to Revelation, you know what he questions? God's word. God's word. When it's God's word, God doesn't need a signature. He says, I say it, it is. In Genesis, he said to Eve, did God really say? Yeah. God really said, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Anyone meet Adam and Eve recently? They're dead. Same trick. Jesus, after being baptized, rose from the grave. Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. Voice of God audibly, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Led into the wilderness to be tempted. First thing the enemy says, if you are the son of God. Didn't God just say that? And the way he holds us captive is, you're too sinful. You're too corrupt. God would never have anything to do with you. How could you even think that a holy God would want to spend time with you when Jesus says, cast all your cares and burdens on me? Brokenhearted, downtrodden, come. Let the blind see again. Let the lame walk again. Let the brokenhearted be healed again. This is our God. This is the gospel. This is what sends men who've been bound in the lie of addiction, that the only thing that's going to comfort their pain and take away their problems is drug, alcohol, and sex. And then they wake up the next morning and go, what has changed? There's no hope. And Jesus comes into the picture. And all of a sudden they see the lie. The light comes into the darkness and exposes the lie. Because darkness cannot dwell in the light. I want to give you an example, a biblical example. There's no greater revelation of this in Scripture, in my opinion, than the story of the Apostle Paul. See, the Apostle Paul was a churchgoer from the time he was a kid. He went to rabbi school. He was hand-selected by some of the most elite leaders in the Jewish faith. He was actually being groomed to be a high priest, for sure a part of the Sanhedrin. And in comes this radical named Jesus. and his ragtag group of disciples who are creating chaos in the Jewish culture. And Paul, in his convictions, his religious convictions, says, this man's a heretic, and his disciples are deceivers. We need to get rid of him. And so he took an order with him that allowed him to kill Christians, disciples of Christ. And in his mind, he was right. In his mind, he was just until he met this person on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus. And you know what happened to him? He was transformed, like Romans 12:1 says. He was transformed by the renewing of his mind, because God spoke to his understanding and changed it. Now he wasn't being the persecutor, he was being the persecuted. He was willing to die because of his encounter with Jesus. See, when Jesus meets you, he transforms your life. And scripture says that he who's begun a good work will be what? Faithful. Do you believe that? See, we're under construction. From the youngest to the oldest, it doesn't matter what age you are, you're still under construction. Now, granted, some of you guys, I can start to see what God's building in you. Others, we're still at the foundation level. But he who has begun a good work in you will. Not might, church, will. I don't care if you live in Trail. I don't care if you live in California. I don't care where you live. God will do his work in you. See, faith changes what we believe, and what we believe changes the way we behave. And if we believe the gospel, it will change the way we interact with the world. I don't care what society says about the gospel. I care about what the gospel says about society. I don't care what the politicians say in Ottawa. I care what the king says in heaven. Am I perfect? No. But he who has bought me is. If you have a problem with me, please take it up with the king. I'm just the messenger. Do you know why Teen Challenge has an 80% success rate with its graduates? And what I mean by success is 80%, over 80% of our grads are completely delivered, forever going back to their addiction. Now you ask these boys, these men, not everybody makes it to graduation, do they? They watch a lot of their friends and their brothers fall time and time again. But those who graduate, 80% are delivered. They have 1,400 centers in 60 countries around the world. This 80% is unheard of in any other treatment center. You know what our secret is? I'll tell you as our worship team comes back up. It's not a secret. It's because of Jesus. It's Jesus, it's Christ, and Christ alone. It's because of Jesus that we have any faith whatsoever. It's because of Jesus that we find forgiveness of our sins. It's because of Jesus that we have a new identity. They're not addicts, they're children of the King. They've been bought with the most precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus that they find healing for their emotional, physical, and spiritual wounds. It's because of Jesus, whether it's generational or self-inflicted, chains fall off. It's because of Jesus that the old is gone and the new has come. It's because of Jesus that they have a future with a hope, not a destiny with hopelessness. It's because of Jesus that there's even a solution to the greatest problem that we addressed. Yes, God is holy and God is good. But because of us being covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, God doesn't see us as we are. He sees us as we're going to be. He sees us through Jesus-colored glasses, white as snow, pure. Because Jesus covered the sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the reason why I join in all of creation and declare the glory of the King. For it's not what Eldon has done, but what Christ has done for Eldon. It's not what the church can do, it's what Christ is doing through the church. It's because of Jesus from beginning to end, the Alpha and the Omega. It's because of Jesus. Full stop. God bless. If anyone here today is just struggling with fear, fear of financial future, fear of health, fear of what's coming, you need to know that there is freedom for you. The Father is not a father of confusion. He doesn't let his children operate in fear but in victory. So I just want you to just again, just savor this moment and hear Christ calling you. Bring that fear to me. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. Maybe some of you are wrestling with growing up in the church and not knowing who Jesus Christ is. Make today that day. Bring the bondage, the hurt, the pain, the guilt of shame, and let the Holy Spirit wash that right off of you. If some of you are struggling with understanding and seeing, ask God to open your eyes. If some of you are struggling with where you're to be moving and walking and your gifts are in life, then bring your feet to the King and ask where it is He would send you. Do not leave this moment, this place, this sweet presence of the Lord the same way you came in. But have an encounter with the living God. Let Him break the chains. Let Him forgive the wounds. Let Him heal your brokenhearted. Let Him renew your mind. Let Him give you vision. Let Him anoint your feet. Let Him give you the gospel, that you would go into the world and not go to church, but be His church. So if any of that is resonating with you, that you want prayer, we're just going to invite you to come up to these stairs, and Pastor Sean and myself and other elders and deacons and prayer warriors, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that today there's going to be a difference in your life. Chains are going to fall. Eyes are going to open. People are going to be set free. Can you lead us again? Feel free to come.